Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know that God has given us three commands through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and they are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel into this world. And as we love God, as we love others, and as we go, we must hold to this word, for we know not who God is, lest we know this word. Can I get an amen, church? For in that book, in this book, is life itself. For we know the Bible is the authority unto life for every human being, and that is the truth. As we understand and know, there is only one truth, for everything else is a lie. Let God be proven true, and every man a liar. And may we remember and hold to that as we move forward. Today, we are continuing on in our book of Mark. So you may turn there, if you would, to Mark. And we are going to be in the 11th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 11 and preach through 26. The title that I've given this section are Things Are Not Always What They Seem. And as we're looking at this word and understanding, as I've said and I will continue to say as we are teaching through Mark, is the reality that the Gospels show us that Jesus is the Christ, that He is our God, that He is our Lord, that He is our Savior. But in the midst of it, Jesus is also teaching us how to live. He's also letting us know the very realities that we are going to find ourselves in this world. Many times we look at this and we don't look at it for ourselves and what this means and what Jesus is trying to teach us. Because we're looking at it that this is proving Jesus is the Christ. And we hold to that. We've accepted that. So now, understanding that, we need to go back and look at it once again and say, okay, Lord, I understand You are my Lord. What are You trying to teach me about my walk and about how You want me to be in this world? Because He came as we are. Can I get an amen? And in that reality, each of us yet go, because we're still in this world. We're human beings. Jesus was a human being. He was fully divine because He's fully God, but yet He was one of us. So His eyes were open to the spiritual realities that we all walk in every day. But yet this physical world has a way of separating it because it's a mystery. And the only way you're going to see it is if you're walking in the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? I swear I got to get that t-shirt. Can I get an amen? I'd have to wear it every Sunday. From verse 11 then, let us read the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, He left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when He had left Bethany, He became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, He went to see if perhaps He would find anything on it. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And His disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and He entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturning the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And He began to teach and say to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a robber's den. The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy Him, for they were afraid of Him, for the whole crowd was astonished at His teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to Him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get another amen? When I look at this word, it opens up in a very strange place. Because what's up with this fig tree? Why is this fig tree an important aspect of what's being taught here? And I cannot emphasize this strongly enough. The fig tree is for you and me to understand what Jesus is about to do in the temple so that we can see. He's encapsulated it right in the middle of what he was doing in the temple. How many of us have heard the sermon preached on righteous indignation about being chased out of the temple? Well, yeah, Jesus had righteous indignation, but how many of us in our anger are literally righteously indignant? No, we're just angry. You can call it what you want. It's called sin. Because he is the only one who is sinless. But he was showing us something that we need to understand. Why did Jesus do this? What was going on? Well, remember the title. Things are not always what they seem. Here we are. Jesus is going into Jerusalem, to the temple, the place of God, a place that was supposed to be a house of prayer, a place that was to be set apart, a place that was to be different. And what are they doing? They're selling doves. They're selling things because the people were supposed to, yeah, David's got it, they were supposed to bring their sacrifices from home, but it's easier to purchase something when you're there than it is to bring it that long distance. You see, God wants us to understand we're going to have to carry our cross every day. You can't pick it up when you get there. You're either bringing it with you or you're not bringing it at all. And that's what Israel was doing. They were cheating God. But not only that, it also says in here that the people were chased out from bringing goods through the temple area. In other words, rather than going around the temple, having to take, you know, another 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and believe me, I've been in Jerusalem, and to walk around that temple, especially with all the people that are there, it can take you as much as 45 minutes to get from the east gate to the west gate if you have to go around, okay? It's that crowded. It's not that far, it's just that many people, and the roads are very narrow. So rather than going around, they were taking their merchandise in their carts right through the holy place. It's not meant to be an open road. It was a temple. What would we do if the traffic outside just started pouring through the church? We would be indignant, wouldn't we? I mean, how many of you realize, you know, there's a church out here, and I gotta laugh, I'm not picking, but there's a church out here that has a parking lot, and how many, I've been living here 20 years, and for 20 years there's a no trespassing sign in the parking lot. I just think that's hilarious. We're a church, no trespassing. But isn't that what Jesus was just saying? This is a holy place. What are you doing bringing in the profane? And here Israel is. This is God's house. It looks holy. Is it holy? No. They turned it into a den of thieves because they were buying and selling. And I'll guarantee you they were charging the people far more than it was worth. Why? Because it was convenient. How many of us know what a convenience store is? How many of you stopped at Rutter's on the way here, or Turkey Hill, or where to get your coffee, and you know, whatever? It just so amazes me. We know what a convenience store is. How much more do you pay there than it would cost you to do it at home? I mean, come on, folks. I can make coffee at home for 50 cents a cup. I go to Rutter's or wherever, and it's as much as $3. You know they're ripping you off. And it's not good coffee anyhow. So here we are putting on airs at the temple. We're doing things we shouldn't be doing. It's not always what it seems. This is to be a holy place. What is it? It's not holy. It's convenient. To how many people is church convenient? It's our way of, you know, I did my duty to God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Jesus is pointing out something here. Let's get back to the tree. The tree is so awesome. This tree, it says it was in leaf, and it wasn't the season for that. Well, because it was in leaf, it had an appearance of being far more mature. So if an apple tree buds in the spring, and then the leaves come out, and then the fruit comes out, once the leaves are out and they're starting to fall, that tells us what? The apple should be ready, right? Well, Jesus saw the tree, and he was hungry, and he thought, well, if the tree looks like it should be in fruit, it should be in fruit, because that's the perception it's giving. And he goes over to the tree, and he sees that there's nothing on it. And he says, may no one ever eat from you again. And Peter and all the guys, you know, Jesus didn't doubt it. He wasn't looking for the tree. He already cursed it. He already killed it. But who looked? The disciples. And all of a sudden they noticed, oh my goodness, that tree that you cursed, it's dead. This is the whole point of the reading. Brothers and sisters, Israel looked like it was something, and it was nothing, and God cursed it. And no one would eat from it again. How many times did Israel have to go out of the land? How many times, you know, literally, the temple was torn down. The temple is no more. There's no more sacrifice. They can't be an image of holiness. Why? Because God removed it. But he's placed it where? In his church. Are we looking like those people that we should? When people look at us, do they see Christians or do they see someone else who is just as worldly? What are we showing? Who are we really? You know, I think it's wonderful, you know, and I am so grateful, you know, I get to come to church in blue jeans and a shirt, and, you know, here starting soon, I'm going to be starting to wear my t-shirts again. And, you know, I love it because we have a whole lot more friendly church. But if Pastor was wearing a three-piece suit, would it make the message any different? No. How about what you wear? If you were wearing your finest clothing, would that make you a better person? No. What makes it real is being real. Are you who you say you are? Are you doing and being what you really need to be and who you're supposed to be? And this is what Jesus is telling us here. And yet, he also takes it to another step because he's letting us know that as we walk in this life, God will either strip it away or God will grant it. Do you see that here? There's a blessing and a cursing. There's a blessing and a cursing. How many of us love to claim the promises of Scripture? Oh, man, I love to claim the promises of Scripture. How many of us are willing to do what you need to do to get the promise? Yeah, I like David's answer. I'm about there. I want the promise, but do I really have to do that? Yes. God has a way. God has a will. And because it's his way and his will, that makes it my faith. Because my faith is not what I want. My faith is believing what God has said, what God has set into motion. And that's where we live and have our being. We can look like something, but if we're not following his will and his way, are we going to receive the promise? No. And a lot of us wonder why our faith isn't working. I'm not getting my prayers answered. Well, one of the first things I need to ask you, and this is the end of what he read to us here, How many of us are walking in unforgiveness and we're asking God to do something for us? How many of us hold bitterness in our hearts towards somebody else or something else? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and he showed us the way to live. As he was on that cross, it's one of the seven words of the cross. What did he say upon that cross? Father, take revenge on them. No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you and I need to hear those words, because I'm going to tell you right now, this world is filled with a whole lot of false stuff going on. And yeah, we can take it personal and we can get angry, or we can remember that they're sinners that haven't received the grace that we have. And that's where I asked you to be. I want you to think about it. How much false pretense is there in our world today? How many of you watch the mainstream media, MSM? Everything coming off of MSM is so tainted with lies, it's unbelievable. But it's not just there. It's everywhere. We are running, and I love this, you know, here in the United States, and I think it's funny because the entire world's watching this. We are running our presidential election. How much truth do you think we're hearing from all these people? They make all kinds of promises while they're running, don't they? And then when they get into office, what happens? Isn't it amazing? If we would be who we say we are, how much benefit do you think there would be in this world? And do you know that's what the section here is talking about? When Jesus is standing here and he's looking at the people and he says to them, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, will happen, it will be granted to him. You and I need to be true to ourselves and what we believe. How many of us pray for something every day, every day, every day, and yet, because it's never happened yet, we know it's not going to happen? But I'm going to pray every day because, you know, hey, maybe today God will change his mind. How about you changing yours? How about you being real with yourself and where you really are? Because if you're doubting the prayer, should you even be praying the prayer? Because it's probably not a prayer you should pray. I want you to think about that. That's some pretty harsh words coming from the pastor to a bunch of Christians. But it's the truth of who we are. When you look at this situation that Jesus finds himself in, Israel was doing all the praying in the world. How much forgiveness was in their hearts? How much believing was in their hearts? They were putting it all together, but they weren't reaching heaven, were they? How many of us are trying to put it all together, but we're not reaching heaven? Because we're not letting go of the things of this world. That's what it means to doubt. If we truly believed who God says he is, we would put aside the things that are of this world. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think I got this thing wrapped up, you are wrong, because I got to work on this every day of my life. I stand up here every Sunday and I confess my sins at the same time you do, because I am a broken man. I'm a called man, and I know the grace that that means, because I got to live this sermon before I can preach it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm living that life. You know, I get out there, and how many of you woke up this morning and walked outside and got that sun shining in your face, and it was like, yeah, what a beautiful day. Well, it's a beautiful day because that's what God's given you. How many of us wake up on a day, and it can be beautiful outside, but if it ain't beautiful in here, it's a crappy day, and it's all day long? Do you believe it's going to be a good day? If you believe it's going to be a good day, you're going to have a good day. If you believe it's going to be a lousy day, it's going to be a lousy day. I don't care how much you say, oh, isn't it beautiful outside? If it ain't beautiful in here, it ain't going to be beautiful out there. Do you see how simple he's talking to us? Brothers and sisters, it is this easy. You can't put on pretenses and expect something else. You're going to get what you are and who you are, blessing or cursing. And Jesus is showing us here, this is as plain and as simple as it gets. Because when we believe in our hearts, when we are truly walking with him, when we are doing everything that he asks us to do, God is going to grant us the things that we need. Now, does that mean I am believing God, I'm walking with God, I just bought my lottery ticket and I'm going to win? I love your laughing. You may not be able to hear that on the internet, but they're all laughing right now because that's the truth of it. No, I might get lucky, but that's about all it's going to be. Because God knows we need to work at it. How many of you can say amen to that? Because we are a work in progress. And you're going to work at it all the rest of the days of your life. There's not going to be anything easy for any one of us. We have got to be a work in progress. We can slip at times, and we will. Each and every one of us will. But that's why the cross is there. However, Jesus is no longer on that cross. Can I get an amen? So stop putting him on it. He's on his throne. And may we remember that we are right there with him, co-heirs. So may that be the hope that we have to live that authentic life, to truly be the temple of God in this world, now, here, today, real, believing, knowing, and seeing the power of God in our lives. How many of us get glimpses of glory? Oh, my heavens, I love the glimpses of glory that God gives me because I live for those moments. And I don't mean that in a very bad way. I mean that in a good way because as a fallen human being, I can't walk in the full glory. Can you imagine being Jesus? I can't. He walked in God's glory all the time. What a life. And yet that's the life we're supposed to have. That's the life Adam had before the fall. And that's what God wants to restore to us. Walking in glory every day. Does that mean you won't have troubles? Wasn't it apportioned to Adam to be in charge of everything? I don't know about you folks, but being in charge of everything, that puts weight on your shoulders, doesn't it? Yeah, even from the beginning. Look at Jesus' life. Was it easy for him? No. It's not going to be easy for us either, but we need to be authentic. We need to be what we really are, and that's a work in progress. And when we screw up, we need to admit it, one to another. How many of us screw up in front of our fellow workers, in front of everybody around us, in front of our kids, in front of our family, in front of the mirror? I think it's so amazing. God just says, be authentic, be real. When you fall, admit you've fallen. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And God will forgive you. And in that, you will begin to start receiving that fullness of blessing. The integrity that each and every one of us shows is what God responds to. When we read this word, may you get that point. The integrity that God sees. What are you projecting? Are you really that individual? Because if you're not, he's going to correct you. Don't be fake. God wants authenticity. That's what he wants. And when we are authentic with one another and him, he will be completely and totally authentic with us, and he will grant us our desires. And I think it's amazing because that doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. That means you're going to want what he wants. And then you'll get it. You won't buy that lottery ticket because you know you don't need it. You've already won the lottery by choosing Christ. Can I get an amen? And we will be wealthier than wealthy can ever imagine, for we will inherit it all. Does any of us understand what that really means? We don't. But we want it. You know, we're that commercial, you know, that commercial on TV where if you have an annuity, you know, where you're getting payments, and it's my money and I want it now. Yeah, we want our eternal blessing now, don't we? But God is a God of delayed gratification because we're not perfect. If we had all the blessings of glory right now, what would we do with it? We would be the prodigal son, wouldn't we, Brother David? We would go out there and spend it on everything, and the next thing you know, we'd be eating pig pods. And that's truth, and we all know it. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Because how many times, I want you to think about this, in the reality of your own life, you find yourself picking up pig pods. Yeah, because we've walked away from the Lord. We've squandered the blessings that He's given us. Because we're walking in unforgiveness. We're walking in deceit. We're walking in doubt. But yet we're projecting this beautiful thing that we're not. I'm not a beautiful thing. But I know a Savior who is. And I think we all do. At the level where God has us. And that's what He asks us to be. Be where you are. Don't project being something greater. Be who you are. But be striving to get better. Can I get an amen on that? Because that's progressive sanctification. That's relying on Him and allowing Him to change us. Accept where you are. You don't have to like it. In fact, you shouldn't. Because if you like where you are, you're going to stay there. And you're just going to wallow in whatever you're in. But if we work towards that truth that Jesus is showing us here, drive these things out, drive these things out, drive these things out, we can be changed. The fig tree couldn't be changed. Why? Because God cursed it and it was dead. Do you see the difference? Jesus cleared the temple to give them the opportunity to start again. Did they? Or did they go back to what they were? Jesus has accepted each and every one of us as we have come to Him. He's cleared the temple. Are you getting this text? Now believe that this mountain. How many of us came to Christ with these big things in our lives? Believe it's gone and do it no more. And Christ will glory in you and you will have victory over that very reality. Do you see the depth of this teaching? It's all about us changing. God clears the temple. God gets it right. God will curse and God will bless. Which do you want? Guess who gets to choose? Choose. Choose well. Choose Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we are looking into Your Spirit this day. And Lord, as we look around the world, we see the deception everywhere. And it truly is. Even within ourselves, we deceive ourselves, Lord. So we ask, Father, that You would help us to open our eyes to see those deceptions and that we would lay them aside, that we would walk away from them. And Lord, I know that's going to mean insecurity on our part, but You give us the security. For You are our holiness, You are our righteousness, and You will guide us and keep us. Allow us to see, to know, and to be the truth of who You want us to be, ever growing more into the image of Your Son, who is our Savior. Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.